Today on Real Radio.
Having Christian assurance, that is knowing that you're saved, is one of the most basic things that a believer that we see in Scripture should know.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, these words were written by the Apostle John himself, hence the title, and directly written to believers. John spent a lot of time with the Messiah, and he learned firsthand the importance of genuinely living out our faith. And this is reflected in the last two verses of chapter 2, as we'll see. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Walking the Talk.
So you grab your Bibles and turn tonight to 1 John, and we are in 1 John chapter 2. We will finish the chapter this evening by covering verses 28 all the way to 29 tonight, and we'll make a lot of ground up. We've been here forever, it seems like, but we'll be rolling on from here on out, and that's 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, and the title of the message this evening is Walking the Talk. Walking the Talk. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him, or some translations say accurately, born of God. Possessing spiritual confidence, listen carefully, is a very important thing for all of our lives. Possessing spiritual confidence. I want to be careful how I say that. In fact, I'd like you to just take down in your notes, because we're going to be talking tonight about assurance. Spiritual confidence. It almost sounds a little cocky, but it's not. And the word can also be just given assurance. Having spiritual assurance, it is essential to Christian growth. Now, I am not going to take a poll in here tonight, but I do want to end this message this evening very, very personal. I don't want to just have a service tonight and then we just go home and it'd be just almost a prestomatic type of an evening. I want tonight to change our lives. I thought as I was preparing today how almost meaningless it is for me to do what I do if lives aren't changed. Now, I don't know how tonight's going to come out because I haven't rehearsed it. But I spent a good 8 hours in this message, and I'm wondering how long it will sit in our minds, be meditated on by our hearts, be ingested enough to make a difference in our lives. But it's extremely important about, listen, how we invest in delivering the Word of God and giving a message, how long does it sit with us? How long do we ingest it and meditate on it? Now, if you're like me, the temptation, And I don't mean a temptation like, we're just waiting to get out of here so we can dive into some program or dive into some CD or dive into some video. The temptation just with life to rob and to steal from us the things that God would have us meditate on. And listen, having Christian assurance, that is knowing that you're saved, is one of the most basic things that a believer that we see in Scripture should know. Have you noticed that when you even look into your Bible, you might even have a computer and you type in on your Bible concordance the word doubt. You know, the word doubt comes up very, very infrequently in the Bible. It's not there much. Why? Because the Christian is not to be burdened and labored with doubt. Then you might be saying in your heart tonight, maybe right now in your mind, you might be saying, then why do I have so much doubt in my mind so often? Why do I struggle with so much? Well, I want you to listen carefully, and by no means do I want to give you any kind of a bum steer tonight or a downer, but my whole motive this evening is for you to come to the place of having absolute assurance. It's God's will that you know that you're saved. When John says to us here in this chapter, in these two verses, he's talking about those little ones, the ones who have been born into the family. The word is technion in the Greek, the little ones, the ones that have been born into the family. You have been born into the family of God if you have come to Jesus and asked him to forgive you of your sins, to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been born again. If that's true, you need to also realize that his Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwells in you. And the Bible says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons, or let me add, daughters of God. Now that states it as an absolute fact. It's to be known. Then why do so many Christians struggle with doubt? Personal experience? I can tell you right now, unbelief. If I look, or I can say now, thank God, and maybe many of us are in this same club, my first 3 years of my Christian experience was disaster. Because I took my work-centered life and brought it right into Christianity, and it doesn't work. I thought if I prayed longer or prayed harder, that God would somehow accept me or like me or show me more favor. Don't raise your hand if you know what I mean. Because I think we can all relate to that. And I'm a fanatic. I would have made a great, great Muslim. I would have been a super Buddhist. Because I tell you, man, when it comes to like flogging or atoning for your own sin, I was the best. Man, if I blew it, I would just drag myself through the muck and the mire for a couple of weeks. I was unbearable to be around until I had atoned for my wrongdoing. I couldn't believe that God just loved and atoned and was powerful enough to back up what he said that he would do in the first place. And I doubted him. Maybe some of you are doubting God tonight because you really don't believe that he's good enough and loving enough to just wipe the slate clean from your life. He is good enough. Man, I tell you, that time when it broke in my life, it just broke. Actually, I broke in half. When God took my pride and arrogance to the wall and my self-righteousness and just crashed it into the wall and said, "You're nothing. You're nothing. You're saved because I have decreed it so." What a liberating thing that is. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 24, the Bible says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what profit is it if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man, listen, will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to their works.'" This doesn't mean we're saved by works. But Matthew 16, 18 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." What a radical statement to make. Jesus makes this announcement. He says this great declaration that's got everybody's attention. And then he says to them, standing right there, "I tell you, there are some standing right here that will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God." Now, when in the world was that performed? Well, it's in the very next verse of the very next chapter. In Matthew 17, it says there, 17 verse 1, it says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up to the mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone on them like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them and talked with him." Appeared to them, but talked with him. Peter, James, and John, those three guys, you know, everybody thinks, well, you know, Jesus seemed to show favorites. Peter, James, and John. It's Peter, James, and John. They get in the boat, and it's Peter, James, and John. They go over there, it's Peter, James, and John. I believe the reason why, because the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love Billy Graham more than you. Get that out of your mind. Oh, there goes Billy Graham. It's been my experience that Jesus spends more time with those who need special ed. Peter, James, and John, and Jack. It's true. Oh, you mean he wasn't singling those guys out because he has favors? No, they needed more help. Well, I need help. Hey, who doesn't need help in here? We need help. Are you victorious in your Christian walk? Well, maybe today. No, the Lord wants us to be victorious every day. Oh, well, now that makes me feel bad because I'm not victorious every day. The book of Hebrews tells us about a great cloud of witnesses that are gathered about in heaven. Now, I don't know why it says it that way. Commentators speculate on what that exactly means. Some say that they can see us. I argue they can't because it wouldn't be much of a heaven if they could see us. Can you imagine? Oh, gosh, Lord, there he goes. Stop him. You know. No, the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses, and I can't help believe that they're not cheering us on. Come on, you can make it. The Lord will see us through. There's no doubt about it. But seeing the kingdom of God, listen, that's what we're in this thing for. Think about what you're doing. Tonight, on the way here, I saw a woman watering her lawn. You know what? She was physically standing in front of her yard. You could tell by her face that she had probably had a hard day at work, and she was just moving the hose back and forth. But she wasn't there. She was there, but she wasn't there. And I looked at that woman's face, and the first thought that came to my mind is, what is she living for? What meaning is there? I mean, think about it for a moment. If you just get up and go to work and come home and pay bills, eat, go to sleep, get up, go to work, come home, pay bills, eat, and go to sleep. Why live if you're just living in this circle? Do you know that you and I are Christians and we're going to the kingdom? We have been born into the kingdom of God, whom he performs nor abortions, none whatsoever. You're not going to get kicked out of the kingdom. Are you born again? You are born again forever. You're not born again and then unborn again. Well, Jack, I had a friend who believed, but now he's back in the world. He believed for a while, just like Jesus said, but the cares of this world have seized him. But are you born again? To every one of you tonight that are born again, you are to know that you're going to heaven and have that deep confidence and that assurance. First thing in our note-taking this evening is the first point that we want to make is that Christians are to have assurance. Christians are to have assurance. And that almost sounds almost kind of ridiculous to even say. But go with me in this. He says, now little children, little ones who have been born into the family, abide in him. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 2 Timothy 3:14 says this, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of. The only way that you're going to be assured of your Christian experience, your Bible, prayer, your fellowship, is by continuing in it. Don't forsake, as Hebrews 10:25 says, the assembling together of the brethren. Don't forsake this. The days are coming, and in fact, I think they're on us, where anything and everything is pulling you and I away from coming to church on Wednesdays or Thursdays or Mondays or Tuesdays. I mean, look at your bulletin. You can come here any night of the week. But there's things fighting. There's things pulling. I remember growing up in Orange County, or having moved from San Diego up to Orange County. When I was a kid, there were no sports played on Sundays. None whatsoever. And thus the birth of what was called Junior All-American Football. The little football teams that we used to play on, they played on Saturdays because Sundays nobody played. My father used to operate a gas station, shut down on Sundays. Restaurants were closed. Everything was closed on Sundays. Now, everything's open, not only open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, nonstop. I think it's an absolute abomination that things are open on Christmas. Everything's open on Christmas. It's pathetic. I think the only thing that should be open on Christmas is a church service, a celebration. We need to be together. And Paul's telling Timothy in that wonderful book, he's saying, listen, continue in the things that you've learned. Stay with it. Christians are to have assurance. They're to be sure of what they believe. And we can be sure. It's not wishful thinking. Paul again says, and he encourages the churches at Colossae and Laodicea, when he writes in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, he says that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together. Listen, this is the Bible. The Bible's saying, I want your heart encouraged, being knit together in love. and attaining to the all of the riches of the full assurance of the understanding and to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. This is what the Bible's desire is for your life. Now, I know that all of us have bad days. I met with a good brother, a good friend before service. How was your day? We always report to each other. In fact, I'm in his accountability group. So we report together. And he asked me, I asked him, how's it going? And he had a bad day. He had a challenging day. He, spiritually, he was on top of it, but he went through it. And I had a good day. And I asked him to forgive me because my day was really good, which means he must have been carrying my load today. And he went through it. But the thing is, we continue on. We will have up and down days in our lives, but we're Christians. We're in the family of God. Even though he calls us little children, it's ones who have been born into the family. We're going to make it. He's not going to leave us halfway along the roadway somewhere. My wife, I remember she telling me a story. She's a baby of 9 kids. They were on vacation one time, and they stopped to go to the bathroom at a gas station. They all piled in the car and drove away, and they left one of their brothers. And they, 45 minutes, they're driving on vacation, and he's back at the gas station before they figured out, we've left them! God's not like that. Gabriel, where in the world is Jack now? What happened? No, he's not like that. Christians are to have assurance, and we're going to look at a couple of things, and that is that because we are, or we have been, born again. This is something you, when you came into the world, never planned on doing. When you're going through high school, now I don't know, some of you have been Christians all your life, and that is the greatest, I think, testimony of all. Some of us were a little bit slower and came to Christ later, and some of you have just recently come to Christ. But none of us ever just said, you know, I'm going to get up today, and I think I'm going to get born again. I just feel like doing it today. Can we all agree that most of, not all of us, but most of us came into the kingdom by some sort of contortion or birth pains? Was there something going on in your life that God got your attention with it? And you said, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to do this. I told you my testimony. I was living a fine life. I knew I was going to hell, but I didn't think hell existed. So you play with that in your head. But in 45 minutes, I heard a message, and my hands were sweaty with conviction. I remember when Greg Laurie was given that altar call, I looked at my hands, and they were sweating with conviction. And when you're under that conviction, when the Holy Spirit's saying, you're in trouble with me, your life's not acceptable. I'm holy and you're not. And you'll stand before me someday. And I'm going to give you a chance to rectify that right now. Listen, when you hear God speaking like that, it's like, oh man, there's not a place far enough to run to. You're like Jonah, you can't even get into the belly of a whale and hide. There's no place to go. And you feel like everybody's looking at you. Or everybody set it up. They know I'm here. That's the Holy Spirit working. Don't ignore that. That's the Spirit of God working. That's amazing. Jesus said, of course, and you know, you must be born again. You must become one of these little ones. These little ones born of God. Romans 2:11 says that there's no partiality with God. No partiality. We have this thing to project these people like superhuman, and yet the Bible says Elijah was a man just like us. He was, so to speak, born again in the sense in the Old Testament way. He knew the Lord, but he was just a man. Born again by the Spirit of God, that's who we are if we claim Christ. And we're to have that assurance. Matthew 8:11 says, and I say to you that many will come from the east and from the west, and this is us, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Isn't that great? That's going to be us. Christians are to have full assurance. Because we have been born again, and also we can have full assurance, because we now live with the Lord. We live with God. Some of you have been struggling, and I really hope tonight that there's somebody in here who's been struggling with the Lord. Maybe you've been dabbling in sin or goofing up, and you're just miserable. May God bless you with more miserable days and nights Because you know what? That is a mark of a believer. Well, Jack, are you condoning their actions? Absolutely not, but I'm not God, and I'm certainly not the Holy Spirit, and I don't have to play like it. He's going to get you back into the family. Well, I've been wayward for so long. Come back. He's calling you back. You live with the Lord now. You used to sin flagrantly, boldly. You used to sit and think about sinning. Next week. Didn't you? You did. I did, but you did. And now, because you're a Christian, if you let your mind wander and it goes into areas it ought not, you're miserable. It's great. It's a sign of life. How beautiful it is, too, though, that as you walk with the Lord now, because you live with Him, you know, He's inside you. At everywhere you go, your eyes, where your eyes go, His eyes. He's looking right through your eyes, the Holy Spirit. He's inside you. Now, that blows my mind because, see, when I got saved, I thought, if He's inside me, there should be some sort of, I should, like, feel a little movement. I should sense something. I didn't feel anything. I used to go by all my feelings before. Then I came to Christ, and He took them all away. And for years, I was like, I don't know, a rock. I just sat there, and God weaned me of feelings. And I think that's why I'm a horrible counselor now. People come in, I just say, shut up, read your Bible. Go home. It works. It's the book. It's the book. People think, you know, can I just meet with Pastor Jack? You don't want to meet. I mean, let's go out and we'll do fish tacos, of course. It's anything, but you don't want to. It's just, you might not come back here. We live with the Lord. He lives in us. And where we take our eyes, He's looking. Where we lend our ears, He's listening. We can't say, I'm a Christian, and not expect Him to be affected by what we do in this life of ours. What we say, He hears. We've been born of the kingdom. We live with Him. He says in the scripture, abide in Him. That's what that word means, abide. Take up residence. Live with Him. To take up residence. By the way, the word implies in the Greek, the word meno, it means to abide or take up residence under a hostile condition. Boy, isn't that where we live? We abide in Christ, and spiritually, we're in a hostile condition. Man, if we could see the forces that are aligned against our home tonight, we'd probably faint. Thank God we can't.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the last two verses of 1 John chapter 2. The title, Walking the Talk. Walking the Talk, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through the three New Testament letters written by one of the very closest disciples and friends of Jesus, John the Apostle. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we invite you to get on board with a whole bunch of Real Radio listeners, including me and my wife, as we're taking part in the One-Year Bible. Can you think of a better way to start off 2014? I can't. The One-Year Bible is designed in such a way that you can read in 1 year through the entirety of God's Word in as little as 15 minutes a day. It's true. The One-Year Bible, what a great idea. Visit us at realradioactive.org to find out how to get your copy of the One-Year Bible. We want to put this in the hands of all Real Radio listeners, and that includes you. Now, whether you call, click, or write, ask for it by name, the One-Year Bible. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all that contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.